Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad that he gave us what we needed, not what we deserved? Amen. Amen. He deals with us according to our needs. So thankful for that tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we turn to the word tonight. Father, once again, Lord, we're just honored to be here, Lord. Lord, to be able to call ourselves Christians, Lord, to be able to bear the name of Christ before the nations, Lord, before people in our everyday lives, Lord, before family members, Lord, before all the world, to be able to say, I'm a Christian. Lord, it's an honor. It's a privilege, Lord. Tonight we've come, Lord, to be at our post of duty, Lord, to stand as witnesses, Lord, of what you've done. We all have a testimony, Lord, and it all comes back to your grace, your mercy. And Lord, even though it's our duty to stand here, as we said at our post, Lord, our post of duty, yet, Lord, it's a pleasure, Lord, to be able to come into the house of God. Lord, to be in your presence with our brothers and our sisters, those that have the same testimony, those that have experienced your goodness, those that have your word written on the tables of their hearts, Lord. It's a privilege, it's an honor, and it's a blessing, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, we pray that your word would, Lord, go forth tonight, that it would move, Lord, through our hearts and minds, through our being, Lord, that it would root out, oh God, unbelief out of our lives. Lord, that it would shine the light on things that might not be pleasing to you, Lord. Lord, that it would reveal to us who we really are in you. Lord, we just want to lift up our pastor, his wife, Lord, that you just be with them, Father. Lord, you bless them, keep them safe, Lord. We thank you, Father, for truly you are good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you tonight. We'd like to continue with our subject from this morning, where we spoke on covenants. Sure to appreciate those specials tonight. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to have Brother Bal with us. Share that special. Brother, does, you know, that gifts like that run in the family? And, you know, I don't know, maybe you could twist some arms. It'd be nice to have some. Brother Joe's saying no. No? Okay. It's worth a shot. Amen. Amen. Oh, we sure enjoyed that. Amen. Amen. Enjoyed the. We're just going to call you the quartet from now on. Amen. Amen. Sure enjoyed that. And that fit with the message this morning. Amen. A new covenant. Amen. Amen. That scripture were no longer that his law would be written on tables of stone, but it would be written on the tables of the heart of his children. Amen. We sure enjoyed that. Amen. We'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And we will look at covenants again here tonight. We're just going to read two verses of scripture, and then I want to read that quote that we ended with this morning. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He would make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Right. Amen. Amen. And then you can have your seats tonight. We'd like to also read from the unconditional covenant that God made with his people. Amen. Brother Branham says, listen, he says, you are the covenant people of God. Amen. Do you see yourself that way tonight? Amen. When you're facing the enemy and he's coming against you and he's questioning, you know, he's planting seeds of doubt in your mind. Amen. And he's trying to get you to doubt God's word. And he's saying, who are you? Amen. Who are you to be able to claim the promises of God? You've got to have a revelation. Amen. You are the covenant people of God. God tore Christ apart at Calvary, making the covenant, swearing by himself. And he took the body up into heaven, which will return someday. But the spirit he gave back to lead the church. The same life that was in Christ Jesus is in the church tonight by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's in the church tonight. And he says he's doing and acting and performing the same things he did when he was here on earth. Amen. Amen. And we've received it. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham says, you've received it. Amen. Amen. Have you received it? Amen. We've received the same spirit that was in Christ. Amen. Amen. He says, you've received it. You've got the covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful possession. Amen. To say, I have that covenant. Amen. Amen. It's the greatest covenant in all the universe. Amen. He says, you've got that covenant. It's written to you, swore by God. Amen. 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 Written to you. It's personalized. Amen. 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 Swore by God, because he could swear by no greater. Amen. Signed it in his own blood. Oh, amen. 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 Brother, sister, that's wonderful tonight. Amen. Amen. He says, you can't fail. Wait a minute, I know I fail, but you can't. Because of the covenant. The covenant holds. As we heard this morning, though Israel was enslaved for over 400 years, the covenant held. Though Abraham would fall flat on his face, amen, and become a liar, yet the covenant held. Though Abraham's body was dead, the covenant held. You can't fail. If you've received the covenant, you can't fail. Amen. Oh, if we could just get that down into our members. Make it part of us. Make it so real to us. What receiving that token means. You've got the covenant. It's written to you. Swore by God. You can't fail. That makes the devil mad. Sure does. When you realize who you are. He says, don't fear about that child, sister. God has made it so. Don't fear about that baby, sister. Don't do that. Just say, God, I now accept that. It's my personal property. I'm a believer. Amen. How could you say that healing is your personal property? Because you realize that it's in the covenant that God has swore to you. Amen. You didn't go looking for it. Amen. It wasn't something that you sought out. But he came looking for you and found you and made a covenant with you. And he signed, sealed, and delivered that covenant to you. So it's your personal property. It feels personal too when the devil tries to take it from you, doesn't it? That's because it is personal. Amen. That belongs to me. It doesn't belong to the devil. He says, it's my personal property. I am a believer. I fill out this check. And I say, in Jesus' name, I accept that. He says, that's all then. The devil says, well, you're no better. But glory to God, I got it anyhow. Amen. He says, Abraham, tomorrow, how you feeling? Well, you don't feel any different. But praise God, I'm going to have it anyhow. God said so. That's right. How do you know? How do you know? What does it all come back to? When your faith is shaken and it doesn't look like the promise is there, it doesn't look like the promise is on its way, when your symptoms are screaming against you, what does it come back to? I got the covenant. I know I got a covenant. Now, to the covenant people, he said this, whatsoever things you desire as a Christian. Amen. And Brother Branham says that as a Christian, that means you're in Christ, right? Brother Eli, that means you're in Christ. Your will is lined up with Christ. When you pray, believe you receive it, hold right onto it, and it'll be given to you. Because you're the covenant people. Hallelujah. He says, that right? It'll be given. Just hold right onto it. Because God has swore that he'd do it. I'm here in a confirmation. I'm going away, going back to the Father. And then the Holy Ghost will come and he will confirm everything I've said. He will be with you and he will continue this ministry on till I return again. Jesus speaking, right? Amen. Amen. So this morning we looked at the covenants. Some of the different covenants and what it means. And I just want to, we don't want to re-preach all of that this morning, that we did this morning, but we just want to kind of hit some of the highlights to bring us up to where we want to go tonight. And that is really that a covenant, and I want to remind you of this fact, that a covenant is not like a legal contract or a business contract. A contract, as we're used to, is a business contract. It's about goods and services and exchanging one for the other, right? But a covenant is people. A covenant is between two people or two parties or two groups of people. And it's a binding together of those people. That's why marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. Amen. It's a binding together of two people. And we saw how that sometimes there are different kinds of covenants. Some have conditions on both parties. And some are just called grants, where one is just given to the other. And that is the covenant that God gave to Abraham. Right? There is no condition for Abraham. It was just God said, I'm going to do this. And when it came time to make the covenant, we looked at all the different symbols and things that you make the covenant, where you break apart you cut the animals. The sacrifice is made, they're split, and then they do the oath walk between them to signify that the covenant is made. And they call that cutting a covenant, right? And when it came time for God to make a covenant with Abraham, he put Abraham to sleep and said, Abraham, you just set aside and rest and let me do this. Amen. And God walked up and down between the animals, the sacrifice of the covenant, signifying that he was going to keep all of the covenant. It was all one-sided. Amen. There was no responsibility of Abraham other than to willingly enter into the covenant, to accept it, believe it. Amen? But he didn't have to fulfill anything for the covenant to be in effect. And how different that was from the other covenants that were given. The covenant of the law, where they had to follow the law or there would be consequences. Even in the Adamic covenant for Adam, you know, don't touch the tree of life. Don't do this, right? And so there are conditions for those. But we realize that original grace covenant with Abraham was purely based on God's performance of the qualifications. Amen. Amen. And nothing was put on Abraham. And we see that brought forward all the way to Christ. Amen. And how the covenant of the New Testament, the new covenant, amen? How it is entirely based on grace. Amen. We want to look also, so we read this morning here of Galatians chapter 3. And we'd like to read this again. And I also have it in the Amplified version of the Bible so we can maybe just expand on this a little further as we pick this up from this morning. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man will disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the many promises made. So what he's talking about there in verse 15 is like a will, right? It's like a last a will or a testament, right? Before someone would make out, and then when they die, they carry that forward, right? Though it be a man's covenant, but yet nobody's going to, the law honors it, right? That's what he's saying. No one will disallow it or add to it. And that's just a man's last will and testament, okay? He says, now to Abraham and his seed were many promises made, and he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. So he's saying that he had an original covenant with Abraham, and later a covenant came of the law, but it never disannulled that original covenant of grace, even though they broke it, right? Which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. He just gave it to him. Amen? So let's read it here in the Amplified. Brothers and sisters, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though a last will and testament is just a human covenant, yet when it has been signed and made legally binding, no one sets it aside or adds to it or modifies it in some way. Now the promises in the covenants were decreed to Abraham and to his seed. God does not say, and to seeds, descendants, heirs, as if referring to many persons, but as to one, and to your seed, who is none other than Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came into existence 430 years later, after the covenant concerning the coming Messiah, does not and cannot invalidate the covenant previously established by God so as to abolish the promise. For if the inheritance of what was promised is based on observing the law, as these false teachers claim, some still try that today. Amen? Your inheritance is not based on observing laws. Amen? He says, if the inheritance of what was promised is based on observing the law, as these false teachers claim, it is no longer based on a promise. However, God granted it to Abraham as a gift by virtue of his promise. Amen. So just as Abraham was given a promise and given a covenant, we have received in the new covenant a promise of grace. Amen. And it is a covenant based on election. Abraham's covenant was based on election. God went and searched out and he found Abraham. And he said, I have chosen you. That elective grace is completely and totally God's choice. Amen. Amen. No, no man, Abraham wasn't sitting over there saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. Right? And even if he would have, it wouldn't have mattered. God's going to pick who he's going to pick. He went to Abraham. And so he does the children of God under the new covenant. Amen? His word goes forth and he finds those that have been predestinated. Amen? Amen. Those that he foreknew. Amen. Those that had a seed gene on the inside. Amen? Amen. Those that, as Jesus put it, have ears to hear. Amen. Hallelujah. And a heart to believe. And he goes and he finds them and he reveals to them his new covenant. And it's all about what God has promised to do. It has nothing to do what we promise to do. Amen. It happens, it all comes down to what God has promised to us. And our job is to say, I believe. As we read this morning, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. God looked at it and was pleased that Abraham just said, okay, I believe. Amen. I accept it. I believe it. I don't understand it. I don't know why you picked me, but I believe it. And God said, that's righteousness. Wait a minute, I thought righteousness was doing the law. No. Believing God is righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we don't want to get too far over on one side. Of course, works will follow true faith. If you believe that, you'll live it. Amen. If you're not living it, then I question your revelation. You don't have what you say you have, but you live it. But we don't get one before the other. Amen. We don't put works first. Faith comes first. Hallelujah. It's all about what God has promised on our behalf. It's his covenant. Amen. Of grace. So many times when we begin to preach grace to its fullest, you know, an election, and we say, well, you have nothing to do with it. We have to come against carnal thinking. Amen. Amen? Because our carnal thinking immediately goes to works.
That's the truth. That's right.
Amen? Amen. The elected bride will be spotless.
Amen.
Right? Isn't that God's word? The embodiment of holiness. But it won't be because she's out there going, oh, I've got to be good. Right? It will be because of the covenant. They will be an example to all people of what holiness is. They will be the only ones truly exhibiting holiness. But will they be living in sinless perfection? As we said this morning, there was only one worthy.
Right.
Amen.
Amen?
The search went out and only one was found.
Right.
And that search went through all time. It went through your future.
Right.
And it didn't see you living in sinless perfection.
Right.
So you always need a mediator. But yet, under a covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
But their soul will be redeemed. And their soul will be ruling and reigning over their flesh, overcoming sin.
Right.
Living under a covenant.
Amen.
Amen. The power to overcome is part of that contract.
Amen.
Amen. It comes as part of it. It's a benefit of the covenant. The power to overcome. The power over sin. The power over temptation. Amen? That power over sin comes with the contract. But overcoming sin doesn't give you the contract. Or the covenant. Right? He overcame sin to give you the covenant. We get it backwards. That's not what ties you to the covenant. Hallelujah. People are happy to stay in dead legalistic churches because they feel justified by the way that they carry out a set of rules. Right? Church says, well, you do it this way, you do it that way, you do it that way, and you're good. And they say, I'll just do it that way, and I'm good. I do this, I do this, I do that. That's Catholicism in a nutshell. Right? You do X, Y, Z, and that justifies you. And they're happy to do that. And then they go live however they want. Because they're not changed. Because there's no life. Because they haven't come into the covenant. Those people are in fact married to that church. Amen. Instead of marrying the bridegroom. I mentioned that this morning that one of the most striking examples of a covenant is a marriage. Right? Because it's a joining together of people. It's not a business contract, it's a union. It's people that were strangers or people that were not related becoming related. Amen. We are joined with Christ in a union.
Amen.
We have to allow Him to make us family. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Branham talked many times. You listen to messages enough, you'll hear him refer to this quite often, where he speaks about Brother Billy Graham, right? And he talks about that type of a conversion. Amen? And I'm using air quotes for those that can't see. Right? Air quotes conversion. Because that's what he was speaking about. He was, they were talking about, it came up as, you know, I have 30,000 converts in a city, and when I come back in 3 years, I can't find one, or whatever the numbers were, right? And Brother Branham made the statement, he said, well, look, Paul in the Bible went and had one convert. And then when he came back, he had 30, right? There was a multiplication happening. And he said that the difference was that Billy Graham's converts weren't converted. Right? They had a testimony that they said that I've received Christ as my Savior, but they actually didn't get converted. Amen? They actually didn't get rebirthed. And that rebirth is actually what puts you into the covenant. Amen? And so what we have is we have church members that are caught between. They're in an in-between place. They're not in the world, but they're not fully into the new land. Right? And they're swayed by one or the other. They can be swayed by one or the other. But they haven't come into that covenant. And it's that rebirth that puts us into that covenant where we can, or where it's true of us that all things are possible. Where this statement out of the message where Brother Branham says, you can, let me find it one more time here, where he says, whatsoever things you desire as a Christian when you pray, believe and you receive it. Amen. Well, that's not true for a halfway believer. That's not true for a halfway Christian. That's not true for someone who hasn't been born again. Now, that doesn't mean that that person can't have faith and believe for things, of course. But they're actually not yet a covenant people.
Right.
Amen. Amen? Because the new birth puts you into the covenant.
Right.
The new covenant, as we heard in the song tonight, writes his law on your heart. And the old sin nature is dead.
Right.
Amen? And that's where a marriage actually takes place. It's an invisible union, the prophet taught us, right? Christ uniting, quickening, bringing to life. Hallelujah. Transforming, placing them into his body. Hallelujah. And that body is what's tied into the covenant. Hallelujah. Once you're placed into that body, then the covenant entitles you to everything. Every promise that's in that covenant. Amen? He's not uniting with sin. He's uniting with blood-washed believers. Hallelujah. He wouldn't put his spirit in a garbage can. Amen. And this is an everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. It's not partial. It's not temporary. It's an everlasting union. He's going to be married to his bride for eternity. And remember this morning when we were kind of talking about what it means to cut a covenant, right? The words that are used in the Hebrew is, it actually means to be fettered together, to be bound, tied up, right? God chose that. He chose to be bound to you. Amen. You know, when two people get married, they say that, you know, you marry the family, right? You suddenly you gain a whole bunch of in-laws, and whoever you marry, they got a bunch of in-laws now too. And, you know, it might come up, you know, I married you. I didn't marry all of them. Right? I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I thought I knew what I had in you, but all of this other, I don't know. But God bound himself to, is binding himself to his bride. Amen? Brother Branham used words like he obligated himself. Obligation. Now, when we think of an obligation, we think of something bad, right? Well, it's like jury duty. I got to fulfill my obligation. Or I got to go to work, right? I'm obligated to go to work. I'm obligated to do this. I'm obligated to do that. It's drudgery. It's work. It's a chore, right? I've got to take out the garbage. Thankfully, Isaac does that for me. Amen. Whatever it may be, these are obligations, right? But obligating, it just means that I have... it's something that I'm compelled to do. Right? It's a responsibility. But it doesn't have to be bad. Amen? For God to obligate himself to his promise, to his word, it's not a chore against his will. He gladly, he willingly entered into this obligation. Amen? You don't have to shame him into providing for you. You don't have to cajole God. Oh, Lord, would you really give this to me? I know, you know, if it's not too much trouble, he wants to. When Brother Branham talked about giving the Holy Ghost, he said, if you could imagine the pressure of all the water in a tube, And water, by the way, gets a lot of pressure. You know, all you have to do is look at submarines that go below the ocean. You know, they can only go so deep, and then there's so much pressure, right? Brother Branham said God wants to give you the Holy Ghost so much. He said it's like a tube filled with water, so much pressure that, you know, I don't remember exactly even how far he said, but clear to the moon or whatever it was. A huge amount of desire. That God has to give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that was just one example. It's his pleasure. Why would he make a promise? He's God. He doesn't have to do anything. But he wanted to. He wanted to give you these promises. He wanted to be your healer. He wanted to be your healer. He wanted to be your healer. Amen. It's his pleasure to be your healer. It's his pleasure to be your savior. If we bring it into our marriage, brothers, we love to do things for our wives, right? It's a pleasure. It's a joy. You can do something for your wife. It's his pleasure. He wants to make the promises of his word live in you. Amen. He wants to see you prosper as your soul prospers. He's working out your redemption as your high priest. Amen. Amen? Amen? He's obligated himself to fulfill his word in you because he loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. So as we said this morning, this New Testament, New Covenant, is a finished product. It's not something that's evolving or changing or God is polishing it up. He's not adding to it as we go along because we needed something else. All right? It's not like, oh, the internet was invented. I better add some new things into that covenant. Right? God knew exactly what we had need of. And Jesus was judged worthy, and we were judged in him. Amen? And all the debt of the old law covenant was heaped up into him, and it was all judged. It was all taken care of. All transgression of God's law from the past through the future was all heaped up onto him. And he took all of it. He took sins that you haven't committed yet. Amen? Yeah. That's why at the cross he said, it is finished. Amen? The covenant was wrapped up and finished. That means we're free. Amen. No debt. Hallelujah. You owe nothing. He took my place that I might take his, as the song says. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But the devil doesn't want to acknowledge this. He's not going to admit that he's already defeated. Right? But he will not stop a single son or daughter of God. We just read it. You cannot fail. Amen. Amen. He tries, but we have promises. He battles, and it looks sometimes like he's got the upper hand. But we are a people of a promise. Amen. And as we started to look at this morning, the angel of that covenant is here to make sure. Amen. That covenant is in effect. Hallelujah. Let's look at another quote here. Praise the Lord. Actually, let's look here. So we alluded to it this morning, but we didn't quite get to it. But we were speaking about the angel of the covenant. Amen. And how Brother Branham used that terminology. And this is one of the places in the scripture that refers to it. This is Malachi 3:1. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." We know that's Christ, right? Amen? Amen. The messenger prepared the way, and then the Lord came suddenly to his temple. He said, "Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." So remember, an angel is a messenger, right? So we could use those words pretty much interchangeably. The angel of the covenant or the messenger of the covenant. And he, Christ, has always been the one bringing the covenant to the people. Right? So the example that I gave you this morning was when you have a king and a people that are making a covenant, just in the natural, that a king usually did not go directly to the people because he was a king and he kind of kept an air of majesty and so forth. It was beneath him to go make, to negotiate a covenant with the people. And so he would send a messenger that would go on his behalf and he would make the covenant, and he was the voice of the king to the people, right? And so God, the Father, amen, he's a spirit, that is not how God comes and deals with man, but he comes in Christ, the form of Christ, to come to relate to his people. So Brother Bram says this: "In Christ is the mystery of God revealed, the great angel of the covenant, that one who was with Moses in the wilderness, that one who come to Paul on the road of Damascus, the same one permitted his picture to be taken with us." The same one that was in the picture in Life magazine the other day. The same word by the same God through the same channels, by the same way, by the same promise. "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst." So you see, we don't want to make this too far out there, right? It is Christ in our midst, right? And the one who was with Moses, the angel of the covenant there, was the one that spoke to Moses. And then Moses spoke to the people, right? And the one who came to Paul said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, who you persecuting," right? And the same one that permitted his picture to be taken with us, that pillar of fire, amen? The same one that was in the Life magazine, and the same word by the same God through the same channels, by the same promise. And that promise says, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst." He says, then he's here. The angels of God are encamped around those who fear him. That hangs only to his word. No man can respect that word without fearing God. See, then he is here this morning with us as we worship him in the spirit. And so we see that it's Christ in our midst. Amen. Amen. The angel of that covenant. Amen. The messenger of the covenant. Amen. So when you enter into the covenant of the New Testament, the new covenant, amen, you go through Christ. Amen. He's the messenger of that covenant. Amen. He's the one that you deal with directly. Amen. You don't go to a priest. Right? You don't go to somebody else to mediate it. You go to the messenger of the covenant. The messenger of the covenant brings the covenant to you. And that's the one that you deal with. Amen? That's the one that carries the weight of the words of the king. Because in this case, he is the king. Amen. He is God and he was man. Right? So, the angel of the covenant is with us, even in us. The Bible tells us that he is in the midst of his churches throughout all the ages.
Amen.
Amen. And so he's mindful of your situation. You've got to believe that he's in our midst. You say, well, I can't feel him. I can't see him. How do I know he's here? Because he promised that he would be. The whole underlying theme of this whole subject today of covenants is that the one that made the covenant is faithful.
Amen.
Right? He's only as good as his word. You can make a covenant with somebody, but unless they are faithful to it, it's not worth anything. And God has made some amazing promises. And he's made an amazing covenant for us. But if he was not faithful to it, it wouldn't do us any good. It would just be an empty promise. But I thank God, he's faithful. We can trust that anything that he promises, he'll do it. How do I know that he's in our midst? Because he promised. Amen. How do I know that he's mindful of my situation? Because he promised. We need to have those things settled forever. Is it for me? Is it part of my covenant with him? Nothing that I did, remember, but the covenant that he gave to me. Right? And I'm asking for this thing. Is it part of that covenant? Does it belong to me? And is the one that made the covenant faithful? Those are the only two requirements. Notice it didn't have anything to do with me. Other than the fact that I'm the token holder in the covenant. Right? So what do I need to know? Well, I need this thing. Is it in my covenant? Check. Is the one that made the covenant faithful to his covenant? Yep. Check. That's it. It has nothing to do with, well, did I deserve it? Did I do this? No. It's all about him. As we said this morning, Sarah judged him who promised faithful to the promise that he had been made, or that he had made. Amen. Sarah had been looking for that promise for many years. Amen. She had a right to begin to wonder. 25 years we've been talking about this, but the covenant still held. Amen. It didn't expire. It didn't go bad. Right? It's not like the milk in your fridge. Have an expiration date. Well, it's been so long, I guess. No. It doesn't expire. It doesn't get weak. Amen? You might find things in your medicine cabinet and you look at the, well, I don't know, this best buy date, you know, maybe it's gotten weak. Maybe it doesn't have the potency that it once had. No. God's covenant doesn't work that way. It doesn't expire. It doesn't lose its effect through the passage of time. Time doesn't affect it at all. The promise is good no matter how much time passes. No matter how long it takes, it's true. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, they had been promised Canaan, but they had been in Egypt for 400 years. That passage of time didn't change the covenant. Amen? It didn't look too good for quite a while there. For centuries. We're not talking about decades. We're talking about centuries. But the unconditional covenant was still in effect. That covenant rose up a Moses. That covenant parted a Red Sea.
Amen.
That covenant provided a rock.
Amen.
In the wilderness. That covenant rose up a Joshua and a Jacob that said, we are more than able to take it because the covenant belongs to us. God made us a promise. We are more than able. That covenant brought down walls of Jericho because they stood on that promise. The covenant of God sent the enemy flying and fleeing before them. Your covenant has power tonight. Amen. You've been given a promised land. There's blessings in your land. And you can slay any giant that gets in your way. Why? Because he's made a covenant with you. Hallelujah. Oh, we might be more like David. Amen. A little boy rather than a bodybuilder. But it doesn't matter how big you are. How strong you think you are. Amen. It's the covenant that matters. You see, I can't. I'm not strong enough. You're right. The promise was made for you before you were weak or strong. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're elected, you belong to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Being an overcomer, and this is what's hard for us. Being an overcomer is nothing that you do.
Right?
That's what's hard. Because we think, well, I'm an overcomer. That's me doing it. It's nothing that you do. It's actually your election. And it's what God has already done. And what he does in you. And it's an outward work because of what has already taken place. Amen. It's like the old example of sheep growing wool, right? You don't tell a sheep, grow me some wool. Let's go. Hurry up. Grow me some wool. Right? A sheep can't do that. But yet a sheep can grow wool. You grow wool on a sheep by taking care of the sheep. Amen? By letting the sheep be a sheep. If it's a goat, it won't grow wool. But if it's a sheep, you know, and you feed it and care for it and it gets enough water and sleep and all of that, it just makes wool. That's what it is. It's predestinated to that. It didn't choose one day, I think I'll make wool. Right? It didn't even choose, I think I'll be a sheep. It was born a sheep. And because it was born a sheep, it makes wool. Hallelujah. So, overcoming Laodicea is what a believer does. It's what an elected child of God does. Amen. Amen. So then, what are we afraid of? Amen. Overcoming the devil is just a sheep growing wool.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We trust God, don't we? Hallelujah. You say, but it doesn't look good, right? It doesn't look like it could be true. You're looking at the wrong thing. Amen? You've got to look at the promise. You say, well, my family member isn't saved. My promise hasn't been fulfilled. My healing hasn't come. God promised you. Now look at the promise. Look at the covenant. Amen? His promises are unconditional. But you have to receive it. You've got to be like Abraham and say, I believe that. And that's righteousness. Amen. Let me just read. Amen. Oh my. Praise the Lord. Let's go on here. I think I've got a quote here out of the Church Age book. Praise the Lord. Is that the next one up there? I kind of lost my place. This is from the Church Age book, the Ephesian Church Age. He says, these seven messengers are making God known to the people. He that receiveth them receiveth him that sent them. John 13:20. They speak and act upon his authority. He stands behind them with all the power of Godhead. Matthew 28:18-20 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, the consummation of the ages. So there they are, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, on fire with the fire of God, holding forth the word of the truth, and there he stands to back them up. Think of it, not one believer in any age, and this is true of our age, amen? Not one believer of any age need cry in his heart, oh, that I might have been back there in that first age when the apostles were first sent out. There is no need to look back. Look up. Behold him who is even now walking in the midst of the churches throughout all the ages. Amen. Do we believe that he's Amen. Here? Amen. Behold him who is the same yesterday, today and forever, and who never changes either in essence or in ways. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in their midst. And not only in their midst as a complacent onlooker or as a recording angel, but there he stands expressing exactly what he is, the life and sustainer and giver of all good gifts to the church. Hallelujah. Amen. So he is with you. Amen. Being part of his covenant means that he never leaves you. He's in our midst. Even when we don't feel him, he's still there. How do you know if I don't feel him? Because he said so. And he's faithful to his covenant. Amen? Amen. Accepting God's provided way at the end time. He says, well, that's the way we're supposed to do. If I see a promise in the Bible that's God's word, then I just stay there and cry out till God gives it to me. And he'd do that to get you off his hands, see? That would be in the natural, right? He's speaking about the parables that Jesus talked about, the judge, right? And the woman kept coming to him and coming to him and coming to him. And Jesus said, finally, the judge had enough. And to get her off of his hands, he said, okay, whatever, you know, we'll take care of it. And so in the natural, that would be true, right? And that's what he says here. He would do that to get you off his hands. See, but that would be in the natural. But he's wanting you to do it. That's the difference. It's not an imposition. It's not a drudgery. He's wanting you to do it. For he likes for you to ask. Ask abundantly that your joys might be full. Cry until his word is vindicated. Now friend, let's just watch just a minute now. Cry until the word is vindicated. The trouble of it is we get a cookie and think that's all there is. There's a whole table full so we can get... So we can speak in tongues and we say, oh brother, that's it. Oh no, that ain't it. That's just some of it. That's right. Oh, I got happy enough to shout. That's some more of it. But there's a whole lot more. Just keep crying out. That's God's provided way for his people. God's provided way always is to take his word and hold on to it until it's vindicated to you. Now, do you follow me? God, a provided way, hold on to the promise until it's made manifested unto you. Because he promised. He said it. He promised it. It's part of my covenant. It belongs to me. I'll hold on to it. I'll cry out for it. I will hold on to it. I'm not earning it. I'm just holding on to it. In the face of unbelief and in the face of circumstances, I'm believing it. I'm holding on to it because it belongs to me. Amen. And where I'm not settling for partial. He kind of alluded to it here, but he said that was the mistake that the Pentecostals were making. They were settling for partial. They were happy, oh, if we could get together and shout a little bit and say, hey, somebody spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. They got it. That's it. But there's more. And when he began to bring more to them, more in the covenant, more of the word, they didn't want it. Because they were just happy with, oh, we got this. Right? But we want all of it. I want everything that God has provided for me. Amen. But it's up to him to give it. He's the angel of the covenant. Amen. He's here to fulfill his part. Anything that's in his word, in his will, you can cry out for it. But it's up to him to give it. Amen. It's already purchased for you. Let's look at the token message. This is the token preached in 1964 in Bakersfield. He said, now, that same Jesus that was raised up from the dead is right here now. Amen. Now, do we believe that tonight? Yes. Now, I'm not saying, do you believe tonight that he was there in Bakersfield? Right? Is he here now? Now listen, the word can't say one thing and mean another. He said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Is that right? Amen. Is that the word of God or isn't it? Amen. Now look up this way as you do. How many in here is sick? Raise up your hand. So he's about to pray for the sick. You say, I'm sick, I'm needy. You don't have to be sick. Just say, I have a need of God. Brother Branham, I have a need of God for something. I believe Jesus is here. Now, you hold your token right over that desire. Amen. He says, you say, I believe Jesus is here. He says, now hold your token right over that desire. Well, what's the token? It's the proof that you're under the covenant. Right? You're desiring something from the covenant, and so you're bringing the proof that you're in the covenant. He says, now hold your token right over that desire. Now let me tell you by his word, he cannot go contrary to that word. He has already purchased your desire, if it's according to his will. And his will is to heal. His will is to give you your desire. He'll withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before him. He says, but presenting that token. Amen. I believe Jesus is here. Amen. He said like this, in the same way, in every possible way, every possible facet, except for the physical body. Right? He's the same. He's still a healer. He's still a deliverer. The one that spoke to the storm is here. Amen. Amen. From questions and answers in 1964, he says, now, on the day of Pentecost, it come down, that pillar of fire, and broke apart like that. And the tongues of fire set upon each one. not their tongues, but tongues of fire set upon them. An elected, selected group, identified by this pillar of fire, showing that God had separated himself into man. Do you get it? God, the Logos, separating himself into man. God, not in one person, he's in the church universal. That's the reason Jesus said, the works that I do shall you also more. Now, I know the King James says greater, but the right translation is there more than you shall do. God was bottled and confined in one man, Jesus Christ, but now he's, bottled and confined in the whole universal church of the living God. Amen. Right now, while God is here speaking with us in our hearts, he's in Africa, he's in Asia, he's in Europe, he's in England. Wherever believers are gathered together, there he is in the midst of them. Amen. Showing that it wasn't just in Jeffersonville. Right? He said at that moment, he was in all of those places wherever believers were gathered. The one that made the covenant is here to make good on the covenant. Amen? He can quicken it to you tonight. The same one that parted the Red Sea because they were under a covenant, that covenant held, it's the same one that can part the Red Sea for you tonight. Amen? He can make a way through whatever you're going through. Amen? The same one that walked the shores of Galilee and sent demons fleeing can send demons fleeing tonight. Amen. He set captives free. Amen. He took captivity captive. Amen. And he's here tonight. Amen. To do the same thing. Amen. The same one that sent demons fleeing with just a word saying go. Wow. He's here tonight. Amen. In our presence tonight. Amen. Why? Because there's a covenant. Amen. He's honoring a covenant. Amen? Amen? Because he promised that he would. Hallelujah. Amen. That we would be overcomers. Right. That we would be the people of the book. Amen. That we would be the people of the covenant. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of feel like a devil's punching bag. Amen? But yet, I'm an overcomer. Amen. It doesn't matter what I feel like. Amen. The covenant says, I'm victorious. Hallelujah. That's what we should keep our eyes on. That's what we should focus on. He said, look up. Amen. Don't look down, look up. Lift your head up. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. We will overcome Laodicea. We will be overcomers in this age. Because he promised that we would. He will make us overcomers. Amen? Yes. Keep walking in his promises. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand tonight. We just want to move on and trust him. Amen? Amen. Trusting him. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, how great you are, Lord. How we marvel, Lord. How thankful we are, Lord, that you've obligated yourself to your word. You've promised, Lord, healing and deliverance. And Lord, you promised that you'd be with us every step of our lives, Lord. That you'd be with us, leading us and guiding us. Lord, that you've made a covenant with us, your children. Lord, how privileged we are to be part of this, Lord. What a wonderful thing it is, Lord. If all we can say is thank you, we would just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. But yet, Lord, We want to be obtainers of the promises, Lord. We want to walk into our land. We want to walk the length and breadth of it and receive everything that you've purchased for us. Lord, there are many needs here tonight in your body. Lord, we go through struggles and hardships and trials of life. Our bodies fail us, Lord, and we need healing and we need deliverance. We need encouragement, Lord. Lord, we are needy, but you are mighty. I just pray tonight as we close this service, Lord, meditating, Lord, on your word and what it means to be bound to you by a covenant. Lord, that your people would take advantage, Lord, of what you've provided tonight. That it would not be abstract, but this is the time to take what we hear and apply it in our lives. I would pray, Lord, that your children tonight would reach out and take a hold of what belongs to them, Lord. That they would hold on to those things, Lord. Lord, maybe they've been praying for something for a long time. That doesn't change the promise. It doesn't change the covenant. It hasn't grown stale. It hasn't expired. It's still true. Your word is still true. Though we get weary sometimes holding on, in those times, Lord, you hold on to us. I pray that you would encourage those tonight, Father. We've been holding on for a long time, but Lord, we know that it's on its road. Promise is coming down my dusty road. Hallelujah. I believe it, Lord, because you're faithful to your promise. You cannot lie. When you say something, that's the way it is. I believe your word, Lord. Lord, may your children grab a hold of their promise tonight, Lord. Not let go. Maybe we've been holding on to it with a waning grip, Lord. Slowly letting it slip through our fingers. We don't want to do that. We want to hold on. Lord, I don't have the strength to hold on my own. I trust you to help me. Help us, Lord, to keep that promise before us. To look on those things, Lord. How we love you, Lord. How we thank you. I pray that you would touch each one tonight, Lord. Bless those that are needy in their body, Father. I pray that you'd bring healing to them according to your covenant. Lord, that you would bring deliverance, Lord, according to your promise. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just lift our hands and worship him tonight? And just thank him for what he's done for us. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty Savior. He's worthy of our praise. We've got a great future. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We've got something to praise Him about. We've got something to worship Him about. We've got something to shout to the heavens about tonight. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. There's no one like our God. There's no one like our Savior. And He's your Savior tonight. He's the angel of your covenant. The messenger of your promise. Hallelujah. worship him tonight in your own way. I wonder if we could, let's sing that I worship you, Almighty God, tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to just worship him tonight. Amen. I worship you, Almighty. Amen. Let's lift him up tonight. There's nothing too big for our God tonight. I worship him, Prince of Peace. That is what I long. Oh, hallelujah. Give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Lift him above your problems tonight. Hallelujah. He is your righteousness.